Midway through the movie, she was more awake than ever.
Time for a smoke.
She said this to Irene, her white, orange, and black calico cat. Irene liked to lie along the top of the love seat and sleep 22 hours a day. It was an enviable life. Fetching a pack of cools and a lighter from the kitchen table, Margie went out the kitchen door. It felt good to get some fresh air. A blazing white moon hung large and heavy in the sky. The soft, steady night wind carried the smell of mint from the patch she planted in the back of the yard.
I have to make mojitos tomorrow when Les comes home.
Margie walked around the yard, enjoying the quiet of the night, eventually finding herself in the front yard. Every house along both sides of the street was dark. More than one of her neighbors had told her they slept better knowing she had an eye on the block. Her inability to sleep made her the unofficial neighborhood watch. In no small way, it made her embrace her condition. Everything happened for a reason. Margie jumped when something crashed in the backyard. Flicking her cigarette into the street, she dashed along the side of the house. She pulled up short when she entered the yard.
What the?
Her patio table was turned over on its side. The folded umbrella had snapped in half from the fall. It would have taken a hell of a breeze to knock that over.
Oh.
She was relieved when she got close enough to see that the glass top hadn't cracked. Les would have a fit when she told him they needed to buy a new umbrella. The table was lighter than she thought, and she was able to write it on her own. She inspected the broken umbrella.
Unbelievable.
Margie whipped her head around to see what had made the noise that had come from the impenetrably dark strip under their dogwood tree.
Stupid kids.
Late night pool hopping was common in July, and her yard was part of the route between the above-ground pools to the left and right of her house.
You're gonna pay for a new umbrella. I know you're there. Swimming's over for tonight.
Something moved in the dark. There was no muffled teen laughter. She felt whoever was under the dogwood tree was watching her, waiting to see what she would do next. Margie's chest turned to ice. She stood motionless, her hands atop the table. Try as she might, she couldn't see a thing back there. There was more movement than ever now amidst the rhododendrons. A large paw emerged from the shadows, followed by another. Margie's heart thudded into overdrive when its hideous face emerged, and it was not happy. One, two, three animals. Creatures so foreign to her it appeared as if they'd been dropped from an unseen hovering alien craft, slinked from the shadows. They stepped in tandem, their heavily muscled backs undulating with each movement of their massive paws. The more they emerged from the shadows under the tree, the more Margie knew for certain they were not stray dogs or wandering deer. Mottled fur and heavy, impossible faces were brought into crisp detail under the incandescence of the moon. The creatures continued their wary advance. An acrid redolence, so strong her eyes began to tear, bullied the fresh air like a canister of tear gas set free. All three were roughly the same size, huge. The fur on each was a different color. One a mix of black and gray, the other brown, and the last one on the right a patchwork of colors. Clumps of hair were missing on each, revealing scraps of raw flesh that, to her dread, appeared to be varying shades of blue, as if they were oxygen-deprived. Other than birds and fish, she couldn't think of any mammal that had blue skin. But it was their faces that froze her to the spot. They weren't long like a dog's, but blunt, with oversized black eyes and snouts that tapered down to a sharp point. She could have sworn they had beaks underneath the coarse fur that covered their heads. Their lower jaws were markedly smaller than their upper, each possessing an overbite that looked like it would make it very difficult for them to chew. And yet there was something disturbingly pig-like about them, or maybe more like a wild boar. In fact, one of them had the makings of a tusk protruding from the side of its mouth. In all, they were a nightmare made real. The monster lurking under your bed or the beast waiting in your closet for you to fall asleep. They came closer.
Les!
The creatures reacted not by pulling back, but by coiling their hind legs to sprint toward her, their eyes wet with hunger. Margie gripped the edge of the patio table and pushed it over, attempting to create a barrier. The moment the table left her fingertips, she spun, running for the back door. As she gripped the latch to her screen door, she turned to gauge her chances of making it inside before they got to her. The black and gray beast had barreled straight through the tabletop. Shards of glass poked out of its hide and razor-like muzzle. The other two had either gone around or leapt over the upturned table. At best, they were two steps away. She yanked open the screen door. Fire erupted on her calf. Margie looked down in shock. The brown thing clamped down on her lower leg. One of them hit into the side of the screen door, warping the metal pane on the bottom. The other fought to get past the one biting her. Half in and half out, she shook her leg to free it from the monster's bite. Something tore. Her stomach lurched as she watched her blood paint the door. Fumbling along the kitchen counter, her quivering fingers happened upon the handle of her metal meat tenderizer. She left it on a dish towel to dry after doing the dishes. Now, she brought it down as hard as she could on the side of the creature's head. It released her, backing into the other one that was eager to get at her leg. Margie fell backward as Les turned into the kitchen. She had the presence of mind to use her good leg to kick the door shut. One of the beasts bumped heavily into the door. Les put his hand on the door handle.
No, don't open it! Lock it! Lock it!
Les saw her leg and the look of unadulterated terror on her face, dropped to his knees, and pulled her into his arms.